my respects to the Buddha, the one who was far from defilements, the one who attained awakening through his own efforts. So now we have the opportunity to come meditate. And we're joining this retreat of us practicing, cultivating our minds, which means that we are making our minds better. So when we say this citta, or this mind, the heart, the mind, that this is one kind of element. It's an element which receives and is conscious of all of the sense objects. And so all of the sense objects which come from things external to the mind, it's what we call the external ayatana, or the sense media. So there are forms and sounds and tastes and odors, tactile sensations, and there's also the Dhamma Aramana. And these Dhamma Aramana are the objects which appear with the mind. So in the body we have parts of the body which are able to receive in these external sense media. So we have our eyes, our ears, our nose, our tongue, and the body and the mind itself. So like when the eye sees a form, when the ear hears a sound. And so there's that hearing which occurs. And so then it's the same with the nose and the tongue and the body. And then these objects which appear with the mind, these Dhamma Aramanas, which is the proliferation, the thinking in the mind. Whether that's skillful or unskillful, whether it's meritorious or demeritorious. So our mind receives and is conscious of all of these things. So when that happens, then there's this sense consciousness, vijnana, which appears. So like when the eye perceives a form, then there's that feeling of sight which comes up, what we call chakku vijnana. And with the ear, that feeling of listening, it's sota vijnana. And so we have a body, and we have all these sense organs, and then there's the mind as well. So there are these six kinds of vijnana, of sense consciousness. And so there are six kinds of external sense media, and six kinds of internal sense organs. And then this gives rise to vijnana, to sense consciousness. So when there's this vijnana, sense consciousness, which is knowing this already, that appears, and if the mind, it's not yet intelligent, then when it receives all of this, then everything it receives, it takes it in terms of me and belonging to me. It takes the whole lot personally. And that's happened ever since we were born. We've felt this way because our minds are as yet unwise. And so there's this attachment to all of these five khandhas and to the forms, and the feelings, the memory, mental formations, and sense consciousness. So the form is one heap. And khanda, that's what khanda means, heap. So one of those is form, another heap of the feelings, and then perceptions is another heap, mental formations, another heap, sense consciousness, another heap. So the act of attaching to these five khandhas as being me and belonging to me gives rise to problems. And then when these problems come up, then we suffer. So when we are born, into this body, and we have five khandhas. And then if we get a wife or a husband, then we have another five khandhas. If we have children, and for each child, that's another five khandhas. So we have five, and then wife or a husband, that's 10. And if we have two children, that's 20. Three children, that's 25. And we attach to all of those khandhas as being me, belonging to me. And so the nature of these khandhas is just to be the way that they are. And the nature is to come together and to be formed from causes and conditions. And so like this forms, they are comprised of different causes and conditions which bring them into being, which allow them to be in their state as this form. So to give an external example, we have this meditation hall here, which has depended upon bricks and sand and cement. And when we put all these together, then we're able to build buildings or homes. And so these are external things. But with all of these things, they're not permanent, they're not stable. The ones they've been built, then in their own time, they must fall apart. And we know this, that they don't last forever, that they need to break down. And so like the homes that we have, and that maybe termites get into it, and then they fall apart. Or iron, it has or can have rust that eats it. So it's not the case that having come into being, these things stay permanently. That we try our best to build them so that they last for a long time. But they need to wear away. They need to break down in line with time. So the bodies of people and animals are the same. That they depend upon birth for their arising, and these cells coming together and then multiplying. But it's not the case that they multiply and grow in number all the time. It rather, they at one point start to decrease in number, and we call that old age happening. When there is illness that arises, the cells try to repair themselves. Maybe we seek out the help of a doctor or some medicine to try to cure illnesses, to try to prevent illnesses, so from viruses or bacteria. And really the viruses and bacteria are prepared to attack the body at all times. And they're able to come in through the airways, and through the food that we eat, the water that we drink, and also physical contact. And these are their means of entry. And if that happens a lot, then the body becomes ill. So like we've experienced with contagious illnesses that cause pandemics, and if they are passed on through the air, then that can create a lot of contact, a lot of chaos. But if it's physical contact that it depends upon for its transmission, then it's a bit easier to solve the situation. Therefore, these bodies of ours are a mixture of different elements of earth, water, fire, and air. And if we look into it in another subtle way, then we can see that it's full of these cells which are deteriorating constantly. And there are cells which die, and then cells which come up anew. But the number of those cells and the quality of them can reduce following causes and conditions. Also following the merits that we have produced and the karma that we have made. So whether we live for 120 years, 110 years, 100 years, 90 years, 80 years, that depends upon the karma that we have made. And the lifespan that we have depends upon our karma. But also not just the previous actions, but what the karma that we're producing in the present moment. And so what are we doing now? And are we changing our ways? Because what's been done in the past has been done already. But in the present, we're creating new causes, which can make our life better. And it's possible for those new actions to make our lives longer as well. But whatever the case, we see that sankharas, these conditioned formations, and they are of the nature to deteriorate and to end. And that's just normal. And this is how the Buddha taught, that sankharas are of the nature to fall apart. And so we can see that in the Buddha's time there were many arahants who had great psychic powers, who had much wisdom, but their conditioned formations didn't last for 200 years. They all had to fall apart following causes and conditions. But it's just the wisdom that we have is not on top of this, that we don't yet know, and so we cling. And the mind that doesn't have wisdom attaches to forms and wants for them to stay for a long time. Wants to be with our wife or husband, with our children, our grandchildren, our relatives for a long, long time. But this is impossible. And if we don't prepare our hearts first, then when these changes occur, when the body deteriorates and breaks down, and then there is suffering. If our children aren't prepared, and then they suffer. Or if our children die first, then we suffer. And these things, they're not sure. So there are some cases where a wife becomes pregnant, and then before she gives birth, the husband dies, and the child has never seen the face of its father. So life, it's not sure like this. But all forms, they need to deteriorate, and that's their nature. So when we come to study and to practice, this is to give rise to wisdom, the wisdom that sees that all forms are always changing, that they don't stay for a long time. It's normal for them to break apart. And seeing this normality is the arising of wisdom. If we oppose normality, then that is tanha, it's craving. It's craving to have, craving to be. And when we attach, then we want things to stay for a long time. But in this world, things don't stay for a long time. Even the Deva worlds, the Brahma worlds, and the life in the Brahma world may last for a million years, but it doesn't last forever. There's this good energy that they have. There's a lot of merit, the merit of jhana, which brings them happiness. But when that merit and that energy runs out, then the mind needs to change its state. For devas, they have ethereal, celestial things which bring them much happiness. But they too have their lifespan, and they don't stay forever. And perhaps they may be deludedly delighted in that happiness. But for us humans, we have both happiness and suffering. And so this is an appropriate form for studying the Dhamma, so that we can see it with greater clarity. Because it's easier for us to see dukkha, to see suffering, to see the suffering of the khandhas, to see the suffering of bodies. So we can see that today, right now, and see how this body, it requires us to drink water, to eat food, we have to look after it, we have to exercise it. But even though we do our best, this body, it still doesn't follow our wishes. It still has to deteriorate with each passing day. With each in-breath and each out-breath, it deteriorates. Because it is a sankhara, this rupa sankhara. It's the sankhara of the body. So therefore we need to use our mindfulness and wisdom. Our minds need to be seeking out the truth, to be aware of this body, looking over it. And this is another kind of vijja, of knowledge that we study. There are already many knowledges which we have studied already in this world for the sake of living our lives, taking care of our lives in this world. But the knowledge that the Buddha taught is that which frees us from suffering. It's the wisdom to be able to look after our minds, to cure our minds. It's like we have medicines to cure illnesses in the body. And so we need medicine which can cure our hearts. We need food for our hearts. Because whenever we attach to anything, then we suffer. And so they say that these five khandhas, and they're like a red hot ball of iron. And it doesn't matter whether you touch it on the top or on the bottom, on the left, on the right, in front or behind. It's hot everywhere. There's no point where it's not hot. And the five khandhas are just like this. If we attach to them, whenever we attach to them, suffering arises right then. But if we don't cling, then the khandhas are just the khandhas, just that. Just things which have the nature to arise, last for a bit, and then cease. There's no contention, we're not opposed to that. But it's when we don't practice that we don't understand. We have the sense of self, me and mine, constantly. And that's even more the case when we see forms. There's a sense of self which appears. It's me which is seeing. It's me which is delighted by this or averse to this. That if there are people who are praising or blaming, then they're praising me, they're blaming me. So there's always this me there constantly. But the nature of things is that they don't have this true self. These are not sure things. So we should come to train ourselves, to sit in meditation, to be training our minds, to bring them to some degree of stillness, to bring them into the present moment. And so like we put in our efforts into watching the in and out breath, and we recite Buddha along with that. Perhaps if we are watching the breath, we feel tense, then it's okay to just recite Buddha or Dhamma or Sangha. And some people, they like to develop metta, as loving kindness, wishing, may I be well, may I be happy, bringing the heart to ease. And so this can relieve the tension that we feel, bring a sense of relaxation into our hearts. And some people, when they say, look at a nice view, they feel at ease, the heart feels relaxed. And so we can develop metta like this, so bringing this relaxation and ease to our hearts, using this Brahma Vihara of loving kindness. So the purpose of this is to bring the mind to peace. And we need to use methods to achieve that, that's appropriate for our disposition. And some people are of the character to feel very tense and tight. So metta, loving kindness, is an appropriate object for them. If we have a lot of faith, then reciting Buddho, Dhammo, Sangho is an appropriate object. Or we can contemplate the body, this thing that we take to be me, belonging to me. We can study it, look through these 32 parts, and ask, where am I within that? We separate out all the parts of the body and try to seek out ourselves within it. And so this is using our thinking, using our contemplation to gain this understanding that in truth there isn't any genuine self there. But we can think about this. But when we perceive a form, perceive any object of the mind, then the heart clings again. So when we think about it, we're able to accept it. When we sit in meditation by ourselves, then we feel at ease. There's no sense of self there. There's no me, there's no mine. But then we get up and we see someone and we don't like them. And there's this self which has arisen right there. So we see this form, and then there's a me and there's a them appearing. And there's a person that I don't like appearing, a person that I do like appearing. So we need to have mindfulness watching over our hearts here. We need to be aware of the feelings that are going on and seeing how this dislike, it's dukkha vedana, it's painful feeling arising, like it's sukha vedana, pleasant feeling arising. And what's that arising due to? Well, it's because the eyes are perceiving form, and then vedana, feeling, arises from that. There's this vijnana, sense consciousness, which appears. But all of this arises and ceases. But our heart still clings to all of that process. We think that I am the one which is feeling attracted. I am the one which is feeling averse. So we should come to teach our minds that this isn't a self. If there's liking, we take that to be a self. Disliking, we take that to be ourselves. And that's because we're deluded with regards to the objects of the mind. So when there are these five khandhas and we attach to them, we should teach our minds that there's no true self there, that they're all empty, aren't they? That form is empty, feeling is empty, perception is empty, mental formations are empty, sense consciousness is empty. Just like how we chant in the morning, and that form is impermanent, feelings are impermanent, perception is impermanent, mental formations are impermanent, sense consciousness is impermanent, forms are not self, feelings are not self, perception is not self, mental formations are not self, sense consciousness is not self. So we've chanted this already. And so we can chant this until we can memorize it, and then memorize it so that it really appears within our hearts, seeing that truly there is, these things are not self. So we chant for the sake of giving rise to wisdom like this. So we use our thoughts to contemplate. well, this is the way it is, right? And why should I attach to them? And we attach because we simply don't understand. And that's why we need to be teaching our minds into not-self. So we carry on contemplating like this, and then one day we will see their true nature. That we see that all things are conventions, and that this me and mine, it's not really there. And the mind becomes empty, and even though this may happen temporarily, that there's a great joy and brightness which appears within the heart. But if we don't see the true nature of these things, then our heart attaches to them through delusion. And then there's a me and there's a you which appears. And then chaos ensues in the mind. So what do? We have to train. So like we've come to this retreat, and for the sake of training our minds to bring them to peace. But really it's not just in the monastery that we should be doing this. At home we can train as well. Really everywhere we go, we should bring our meditation objects with us. Because we're meditation practitioners, right? So we need to be meditating. We need to use these methods of meditation as our weapons to fight against these sensory experiences, to be bringing up mindfulness, to be teaching our minds. Whatever it is that we see externally, we should teach ourselves internally, not allow our minds to become delighted in those things, to be teaching ourselves inside, and that these are deceptions, that all forms and feelings, perceptions, mental formations, sense consciousness are deceptions, that they don't have any true essence to them. They are illusions, they're not genuine. So we can see like how if there's no form, then there's no feeling of seeing. But when this form appears, there's a feeling of seeing, then we attach to that as being me. I'm the one that sees. But in truth, this depends upon many different causes. It's like we need to have eyes which are functioning well. And some people have illnesses in the eyes. They may have cataracts, which means that the nerves in the eyes have degenerated. And even though there is form, they're not able to see. Or if our eyes are working well, there is form, but there's no light, then we're also not able to see. But when all of these things come together, all of the causes and conditions are complete, then we're able to see. But when there's this feeling, then we take it as I am the one that is seeing. I am the one that is feeling. But really, it's just nature. That sight is merely sight. That sounds are merely sounds. Listening is just listening. Like how they say that it just enters in through the left ear and goes out through the right ear. That we just let it go like that. That really there's, that if we're praised, then really there's no one who is being praised. If people are gossiping about us or disparaging us, there's no one that's being gossiped about, disparaged. So with this listening, then we see there's no me there. And this wisdom comes up and we feel at ease. But for that to arise, we need to have firm samadhi. The mind needs to not be shaken, needs to be in a stable, peaceful state. So we train ourselves to be composed, to have firm minds. And then when we meet with something, if our mindfulness is on top of that, then we can see that it's just empty and there's no self there. But if we aren't on top of that, and then the mind will start proliferating, giving rise to me and to you. So we need to be contemplating then. We need to be putting in our efforts, trying to practice, trying to train, to make our mindfulness good, to make our samadhi firm so that wisdom can arise. And so then we, in order for us to see the Dhamma within this very life, so may you all grow in blessings.